Welcome in, everybody, to the DailyOverlay.com NFL Expert Consensus Podcast. I'm Stephen Monahan with you for our last podcast of the year, of the season. It's been a fun run. We didn't have one last week due to the Christmas holidays, and so hopefully you and yours enjoyed your Christmas with your kids, if you have kids, your girlfriend, your wife, whomever, family, friends, etc., etc. Hope that it was a good time for you, and that you made some money in DFS as well. And it is week 17 in the NFL. Man, it has flown by. I hate to hear that and even say that. And but the playoffs are coming, so we still get some NFL for the next 3 weeks or so after this week. And it's a good time for the NFL right now. The next 2 weeks of playoffs are some of the best football to watch. So it's my favorite time of the year for NFL as well. I actually don't really like the championship week is fun, but I don't like it as much in Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, but I don't really like the Super Bowl all that much. And it's just because it's the end of the season. It's not always a good game. The commercials have been terrible lately. We had some good games in recent years, but it's just, I don't know. It's just not the same as right now where you can watch all these games, play DFS. It's just, Super Bowl for me is just kind of anticlimactic. And of course, you know, if the Cowboys are there, it'd be much different. And maybe that'll definitely make me feel differently, but as I am a Cowboys fan. But no Matt Butler this week. No Brad. We haven't had them on in a while. They've been busy. It's been the holidays. It is what it is. And but I do appreciate those guys for hopping on here when they have had some time. And they've done a good job when they've been when they've joined us. So hopefully we can continue this next year and everything. So but enough talk, enough happy talk, as they call it in the broadcasting industry. Let's get to some picks. It is week 17, as I mentioned. We have kind of a short list of consensus picks this week. It's just a weird, you know, I really even hate doing the podcast this week because there's just so much that can happen. You know, I'm recording this on Saturday morning. So much can happen between now and 11 o'clock, 11:30 Central Time on Sunday for just news and notes. You know, we don't know who, there's so many injuries, that could impact our lineups this week. Or just news and notes that we might get, coach speak, or about who's going to play, who's not going to play, inactives. I mean, there's just a lot to siphon through. Like, I really want to make some lineups today, but man, I feel like I'm just going to have to wait till 11. Like, I have a couple of guys I want to play almost everywhere. I'll get that going. You know, I know who I like to start things off. But as for the rest, you know, I like Spencer Ware, but he may not play. Maybe Sharkhandrick. I mean, like, just things like that. D'Angelo Williams or Fitzgerald Toussaint, or maybe neither. I mean, you know, are the Giants going to just rest everyone offensively and defensively? Are the Cowboys going to rest everyone offensively and defensively? Are the Patriots going to go full bore against the Dolphins? Are the Dolphins going to try and... I mean, there's just a lot to sift through, and you've got to be on your game this week or you're going to be well behind the pack. There's players that you may play that are just landmines, so you just got to be on your game and trust your gut. There's so much opportunity, though, especially at the running back position this week, that can make or break you. So I think that's where lineups are going to be made and broken this week, is at the running back position, because there's just so many options that you can just play that are cheap, and so on and so on. So let's get the ball rolling here. I don't want to spend too much time talking. There's not a lot to talk about. I think the key this week is just to pick the guys that you like and the games that matter the most, and just maybe try to find some value in the games that don't matter. But I think your core needs to be those games that matter. And those games are obviously Detroit, Green Bay, Sunday Night Football. Love that game. The line on that game has moved up as the week has gone on for good reason. There's no reason why that game shouldn't have a lot of points unless, you know, Stafford or Rodgers get taken out of that game. But due to injury or something crazy like that. But, you know, the division, the playoffs are on the line. That is a playoff game right there. So I can't wait. I just love that game. You know, but the highest total on the board is Atlanta in New Orleans, and for good reason. You know, it's 56. I would probably bet the under on that one. I just don't know how I feel about that game with Atlanta, the only one really having something on the line, trying to lock up that first round bye. And it's just New Orleans doesn't have anything to play for, so I just don't know. I mean, Drew Brees is a competitor though, so we know that he's not going to want to just lie down and roll. So it's just those are the two games I think that have the best potential for points this week, and I think that's where your core needs to be. But again, I said I wouldn't talk, and I keep rambling, so let's move on. Quarterbacks, highly touted this week on our consensus. Aaron Rodgers picked 8 times, Matt Stafford 8 times. No surprise there. The game that means the most with the two quarterbacks against defenses that have been dreadful this year. Russell Wilson picked 5 times, Drew Brees 4, Matt Ryan 3, Blake Bortles 3. I don't hate any of those guys. Kind of surprised Tom Brady's not on this list, honestly, but I guess everybody kind of thinks it's going to be a run week for Tom Brady in the Miami against Miami, and I kind of think that too. I think Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount make excellent plays, but Brady makes a good play. I'm actually surprised he's not on this list, but it is a short list. I don't think as many didn't have as many experts picked this week. I'm sure he was picked a couple of times and just didn't make the grade here. As you know, we only publish those that have players that have been picked 3 times. So in our spreadsheet and everything, in the behind the scenes work that goes on, I think that Brady was probably really close. But and I wouldn't hate that play either. Matt Ryan, Drew Brees in the highest total game. And then with Blake Bortles, who has just killed the Indianapolis Colts. He had a great matchup last week against the Titans, who he's killed. And then he's also killed, I think he had like 30 fantasy points in the Colts' first matchup. And they're playing for their interim coach. So I think the Jaguars have something to play for here. And I really like that Bortles call. I don't think you need to get cute this week at quarterback. You know, you can maybe play Sam Bradford or something, but... And Russell Wilson is okay. I just think they're going to blow out San Francisco, and his ceiling is low. But, I mean, they're a terrible defense, and they're not going to be trying to win that game. So I definitely can see the cause for playing Russell Wilson, especially if their offense, if they just can't run the ball, like which they haven't been able to do. We'll get to that in a minute. But I can see that they're – I mean, Aaron Rodgers – Matt Stafford, I mean, Breeze, Ryan, like, just don't get cute. There's no reason to get cute this week at quarterback. You play the guys. Blake Bortles, I don't think, is getting cute. Like, he has a great matchup, and they have plenty to play for. Brady, not on the list, but, you know, you're not getting cute playing Brady. Play him. Running backs, David Johnson picked 7 times, and then Bilal Powell 5, Devontae Freeman 5, and then our suggested line, D'Angelo Williams 4, Mark Ingram 4. Hopefully we're still recording here. Just looked at my phone and it was off. Sorry for the little delay. I got distracted. D'Angelo Williams 4. Mark Ingram 4. Darren Sproles 4. Jaquizz Rodgers 4. Chris Ivory 3. Rex Burkhead 3. Rob Kelly 3. And that rounds out our list for running backs. I think obviously David Johnson's going to be the chalk this week. They're trying to get him a record. But the Rams, his one dud, which was 15 fantasy points on DraftKings, was against these Rams. But, I mean, really, what are they playing for? They're going to force-feed David Johnson. He scares me a little bit just because he is so high-priced, but there's nothing to really pay up for this week. There's not a lot to pay up for, I should say. You know, Le'Veon Bell is 10-3, but he's not even playing. So David Johnson is the top guy this week. And you should be force-fed the ball. But he scares me a little bit just because, you know, he has been just run into the ground. So I could just see a case where if he gets the yardage and then he's just yanked. He gets that yardage record where I think it's 16 straight games with 100 yards from scrimmage, which has never been done before. He also has he could be the first player ever to have 1,000 yards rushing and have 1,000 yards receiving. So if they want to go for that, then I think he should be fine. But I could just see them, I don't know, cause for concern a little bit. I don't want to worry you or try to take you off the play because he's a great play. If he plays a full game and we knew that and you didn't have to worry about him being pulled, because there is that just that little worry, I would think he'd just be a lock. Bilal Powell, we're not even sure if he'll play. I don't even care if he does. I'm not having anything to do with that Bills defense after Rex Ryan has been yanked. I know they've been bad with Rex Ryan, but they're going to play for the interim coach over there in Buffalo. And going to make it, I think from what I was reading this week, you know, Rex Ryan's scheme defensively is really difficult to pick up. And it's just like, I guess people just have a tough time getting it together and playing well under that. And so maybe, you know, I've read that there's a possibility just keep things vanilla and just get your best players out there and get them, tell them to make plays. And it's the last game of the season. So, and the Jets are Jets are just terrible offensively. So I just don't want anything to do with Bilal Powell. Devontae Freeman, he's the guy. Him and Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman's the guy, the running back to have on at home, and Tevin Coleman's the one to have from the Falcons on the road. I think Devontae Freeman has like one touchdown on the road and 12 at home, and Tevin Coleman's got 9 on the road and 1 at home. So if that narrative, which is a weird, weird thing, holds, Devontae Freeman should be just golden this week against New Orleans. D'Angelo Williams, not sure. You just have to, you know, if he could be a good play, I don't know if he plays the whole game. They need a good backup in the playoffs in case Le'Veon does get hurt for any reason and you have him to go to and you don't want to get him hurt. So it's kind of a weird situation. Fitzgerald Toussaint could be the guy to go in Steeler for Pittsburgh at running back. But then, you know, if the Steelers rest all their offensive linemen, or is that really worth playing even though it is the Browns? It's just a weird situation that I was high on earlier in the week, and a lot of people have said that too. If you read or listen or watch things, they'll tell you the same thing, that they were high on them, on those Steeler running backs early on, and then it's kind of gotten off of them late in the week, and I kind of feel the same way. But maybe if we get news that it's just Fitzgerald Toussaint, then that's a better play. But anyway, Mark Ingram, I really like this guy in this game. He's been force-fed the ball after his little tantrum. I think he's got some kind of game play bonus on the line too. So if the Saints want to pay him that bonus, they'll get him the rock. And if they want to avoid him voicing any more, having any more outbursts for not being given the ball. But, you know, Saints might want to try to save some money. So, I don't know. I think he's pretty safe, though. But you never know with that little backfield they got going on there. And it's Sean Payton handling play calling duties. So, I don't know. Darren Sproles, he's the de facto number one running back with all the injuries. Not so sure. You know, we've heard this before. Darren Sproles is the guy. And then he gets like 5 carries. He only had 7 carries last week after Ryan Matthews got hurt, so he's really just PPR dependent, and the Cowboys aren't playing anybody, so I think you could make a case for Sproles here. But the only other running back on the roster is Byron Maxwell, a rookie out of Oregon, and so they may want to give him some run to see what he's got. And of course, if he's playing against backups for Dallas, he's only 3K. But Darren Sproles is the guy on the list. I just don't know if it's somebody I'm going to go to. Jaquizz Rodgers is somebody I love. Tampa Bay, he's got a slim chance for the playoffs. He's the only running back on the roster outside of Peyton Barber. He's going to be the 3-down back. I love this spot for him just on volume alone. He's only 4,900. It is Carolina. I mean, they've been tough against the run, but they haven't been that tough lately. And no Luke Kuechly, I don't think. And then, you know, how much are they really going to play up for this game? It's at home for the Buccaneers. It's just a volume play, and he's cheap, and so there's just some security there that I just really like. Chris Ivory, okay, who cares? He's probably not even going to play anyway. Rex Burkhead, if Jeremy Hill is out, I guess, you know, this is kind of the Jeremy Hill situation from earlier after Gio Bernard got hurt. His first game was against the Ravens, and he had like 12 fantasy points or something with like 6 targets out of the backfield. So, like, it's a high floor, low ceiling opportunity, I think, for Burkhead. But, and then Rob Kelly, kind of like this play as the week has gone on. Cheap running back that should get a lot of work. The Redskins need the win to get into the playoffs. Giants aren't going to play anybody, so he's going to go up against second teamers. Everybody's going to be on Kirk Cousins and DeSean Jackson, which I do like that play too. Probably Crowder and Garcon as well, but because they're going to put up some points as well. But
you know, Kelly could be the guy if just things happen to fall the right way and he gets those goal line carries. He could be the one that sends you over the top past those Kirk Cousins people. Who isn't on the list? That's kind of weird, but we'll get to that in a minute. Receivers, Jordy Nelson picked 7 times, Mike Evans 6, Julio 5, Doug Baldwin 5, Eli Rogers 5, J.J. Nelson 5, Allen Robinson 5, and then the rest here, Michael Thomas 4, Cameron Meredith 4, and then Devontae Adams, Steve Smith, and Golden Tate each picked 3 times. I really like the receivers on this list. I think I'll have a share of every single player on this list. I think that the consensus has it right this week. It's not even close. There's a couple players I like that aren't on the list, but definitely, I mean, this is going to be all these guys are going to be pretty chalky, I think, except for maybe like Devontae Adams, but he's a good leverage play off of Jordy, who's just been killing it. Matt wrote here, he has 22 plus DK points in 4 consecutive games. This is a playoff game. I don't even know how he doesn't get that number again. With Aaron Rodgers there. If Cobb doesn't even play, I don't think they're going to be running the ball that much. Nelson's the guy I think you have to have. I like Mike Evans this week. He's cheap. Price has come down. Hasn't really done much. No Cameron Brate. Panthers just don't know what their mindset's going to be. Are they going to play hard? I mean, he's going to be force-fed the ball, so just on target share alone and opportunity, I think he's worthy of paying up for. Julio, same thing. He didn't play on a lot of snaps last week, but Falcons need this win to get home, to get that second, get that first round bye, the number 2 seed. And Julio's been much better at home than on the road, but sometimes Devontae Freeman overshadows him. But I think him or Devontae go off, so I think you're safe just kind of rotating those guys in and out of your lineups. And there's no Taylor Gabriel this week, and the tight end situation's a mess. And so it's Julio and Freeman. You know where the offense is coming this week from the Falcons if they're going to put up all those points. So I definitely like that a lot. Maybe Tevin Coleman too. Doug Baldwin had freaking 19 targets last week and just dominated. 13 catches, 171 yards, and a touchdown. I had no shares of him. It killed me in my lineups. But I liked him this last week, but you know, I don't want to chase. His price has gone up. He's not in a bad, I'm going to play him, but I'm not going to have like a ton of shares of Doug Baldwin, but he's going to spot in a good spot, especially if Seattle can't run the ball, for any reason. Eli Rogers is going to be the de facto number 1 receiver, although I think he's important to the Steelers. So really, how much will he play? He's cheap. And he's got Landry Jones throwing them the ball. So I don't know. I mean, he's cheap. He's probably going to be highly owned just because he's going to be the guy with no Antonio Brown, no Ben, no Bell. J.J. Nelson he's had a TD catch in 4 straight games. He's had like 17 targets over his last 2, but only 8 catches. I think he's more of a boomer bust play, but he's getting the targets there against the Rams who've been, oh my gosh, they've been shredded the last 4 or 5 weeks against the pass. I think I wrote up in my value index something around, they've given up 10 or 11 touchdown passes in the last 4 games. They're just, they're done. They're trying to lose. So, but I still think it might be a DJ game over a JJ game. Then Allen Robinson, finally, I liked this from Matt. Made me laugh when I read the consensus, his little narrative on Allen Robinson. Emerged from the witness protection program last week with 147 yards on 9 catches. So I wanted to look up what he did against the Colts earlier in the year. I know he had another solid game against them. I got to look it up here. I do like A-Rob a ton. His price has come up, but he's only $5,500. You're still getting him at a huge discount. I don't feel like it's chasing here. He's the guy. He gets the targets. The Colts are bad against wide receivers. He didn't even have a touchdown last week, Allen Robinson. So, and he still scored 26 fantasy points, so I really like him to beat. He's going to get a touchdown this week. I really like him to score against Indy. Let's see, 5 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets against Indianapolis. And that was at home, and now he gets the dome. the dome factor, which is always a boost to offenses. So I really, really love Allen Robinson. I don't know if I'll play him. I played him everywhere last week, but I don't know if I can do that this week, but we'll see. Michael Thomas, love him. I read a crazy stat from Evan Silva this week, and I didn't even realize that he would be the 17th receiver, Michael Thomas, that is, 17th rookie receiver with 1,000 yards. If he gets, I think it's like 67 yards or something like that. I just found that odd that only 17 guys will have done that if he does that. 1,000 yards receiving in their rookie year. It's just kind of crazy. He's definitely made a case for rookie of the year himself. I think he's a very safe play in a high-scoring game. So I love Michael Thomas. Cameron Meredith out of the slot, where Jordy Nelson destroyed the Vikings last week. That's just where the Vikings have gotten eat up, is the middle of the field. He's going to get the targets. He's cheap. Should murder and destroy again. Davante Adams is boom or bust. Jordy's just taken so much of the share. But if for whatever reason if Jordy doesn't go off or struggles, it's going to be Davante Adams. It's just where this offense is going. So I like that call. Then we have Steve Smith, narrative street here. He said it's his last game, but he is going up against the Bengals, who are a tough secondary. But again, it's just Bengals have nothing to play for. You know he's going to be force-fed the ball, so I think you've just got to play that narrative street in his last game. He may or may not do well, but he's going to get a lot of looks. And then Golden Tate against the Packers, who allow the second most DFS points to wide receivers. And Tate has not caught less than 6 passes since week 12. The only thing with Tate is his price is a little high for someone who doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. But it's going to be Tate. It's going to be Ebron. It's going to be Marvin Jones maybe there in that game with no running game really. And the Packers, I mean, it should be a shootout. So I like Golden Tate though. Tight ends, Travis Kelce, 8. Picked 8 times. Eric Ebron picked 7. And then we have no one recommended and then suggested Zach Ertz, 4. Delanie Walker, 3. Jimmy Graham, 3. Jordan Reed, 3. Kelce, obviously, is going to be the chalk. He's been dominating, and he's only $5,000. So he's going to be the chalk of the week for sure. Eric Ebron's in a great spot against the Packers. Had 12 targets, 8 catches, and 93 yards against the Cowboys. If this is a shootout, he's going to have his fair share of games. And Anquan Boldin is nursing an injury. So if for any reason Boldin is limited or out, that's a boost to Ebron in the red zone for sure. I do like Ebron a lot, especially to save some salary and to pivot off of Travis Kelce, who's going to be the chalk. And the Chiefs need to win. So I think Kelsey's a great play. Zach Ertz is a great play. Double-digit targets. Well, he's kind of boom or bust for me, but if Jordan Matthews doesn't play for any reason, and even if he does, I think Ertz is a good pivot at 4,800 off of, I mean, nobody's going to play Zach Ertz with Travis Kelce there, but the Cowboys aren't going to play anyone, and they've been dusted by tight ends this year, so I think he's a really good play, especially if Jordan Matthews does not play. Delanie Walker's in a tough situation, no Mariota. Texans are a tough team. They don't have anything to play for though, so I could see this being an interesting spot for Delanie, but I'm not playing him. Jimmy Graham hasn't had the target share in recent weeks. He's been asked to block more. Just don't know what to do with him. He is super cheap though, and he killed the 49ers in their first matchup. And then we have Jordan Reed. I don't even see a reason why the Redskins would need to play him. They just need to win. They're going to win, especially if the Giants sit everyone and then you're in the playoffs. So I think I would just let Jordan sit one more week. And then defenses, let's get this over with real quick. Cardinals picked 8 times. They're the chalk this week. And then recommended Kansas City picked 5, Buffalo 4, Oakland 4. Arizona on the road against the Rams, who've just been awful, giving up the second most DFS points to defenses this year. I've never gotten the Cardinals right picking them on the road this year, but this seems like a different situation. The Rams are probably not going to have Kenny Britt. They can't run the ball. They have Jared Goff. I mean, it's just ugly, 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 and that's why I kind of don't like J.J. Nelson as much, because I just think the Cardinals are going to rip him a new one, and it's going to be DJ and the Cardinals defense. So Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, there's nothing to really play for other than the Antonio Gates record for the Chargers in their last home game. So it could be a sneaky spot for them to upset the Chiefs, but Chiefs do have a pretty decent spot here with Rivers throwing picks like he's getting paid for each one, as Matt says on our consensus. But I don't like to pick road defenses that much unless it's just a must play like the Cardinals. I don't know that the Chiefs are a must play here. And then the Bills and the Raiders. I like the Raiders. They are another exception here on the road against a rookie quarterback or quarterback tandem. No running game to speak of. And the Raiders shut down wide receivers pretty well. So I just still a road defense though against, and it's the last home game for Denver. They're going to try. So it's hard to play for me to play the Raiders or like the Redskins at home against a backup Giants defense at that same price. I do kind of like the Bills though. Of course they're a road defense, but the Jets just are terrible and the Bills are going to play well for their interim coach. I like the Jaguars against the, it's a road defense. Gosh, I'm just like hypocritical here, but like I said, there's always an exception to the rule, but it's still not something I'll probably go to. But you've got, who else do we have here? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Not a lot of defenses at home to like, though, other than like Pittsburgh, but you have to pay up. The Colts, you could say, make a case. But I like the Redskins, that are my favorite home defense this week. You can make a case for the Titans, as the Houston Texans have nothing to play for. Philly is sneaky against Dallas, who's going to have no one, no starters playing. And that's kind of a revenge game against Mark Sanchez a little bit. And then the Bengals at home is kind of interesting, but I don't know if I'll go that route myself. I'm surprised the defenses on the consensus are a short list, because I do think there are a lot of solid options out there. Any other plays where we, real quick, just talk about any surprises we don't see on the consensus? I'm surprised that at quarterback, Tom Brady, I feel like should have been on the list. He's priced down 7,200. That's pretty cheap, so I don't know what people are thinking there. Kirk Cousins, same thing. He's going to pass for 5,000 yards, and he's not on our consensus this week in a game they must win. That's just insane to me. Anybody else surprised by? I'm not surprised by him, but I think you could make a case for Bradford against the Bears at home. But I don't know if I'll play him. He would be a deep tournament play for sure. Running back, surprised Shady's not on the list. It's not like the Jets have been good against the run this year. They're in kind of give-up mode. But will Shady play the whole game? I don't know. I don't know if I can trust Shady this week myself, but I'm surprised he's not on the list. Same with Jordan Howard. He is going to get a ton of carries. Surprised he's not on our list. I really am. Also, Jordan Howard, or I already said Jordan Howard, I'm sorry. Thomas Rawls, he came off an injury out last week with an injury. I was hoping he wouldn't play this week, and so we could just play all Alex Collins everywhere. But he is playing. He's cheaper against the 49ers because of that injury, but it's just the offensive line is bad. I just don't know. But I am surprised he's not on the list. I mean, the 49ers are the worst run D in the league. LeGarrette Blount, surprised he's not on our list. He's going to get 20 carries against a terrible Miami defense. You know, I guess maybe Latavius Murray's kind of shocking. Jaquizz Rodgers, we talked about him, right? I've already forgotten. I got to go back to our list here. Yeah, he's on our list. Okay, my apologies. Just there's a lot of other cheap guys down here you can make a case for, but I think the ones I mentioned were the most shocking to me. Was no Blount, no Rawls, and no Jordan Howard or LeSean McCoy. And then at receiver, I think, like I said, I think T.Y. is a little surprising, and Brandon Cooks too, which I like. And DeAndre Hopkins after last week, burning people, it could be a good play if the Texans really do try. The Titans are horrible on in the secondary. I like DeAndre to be low-owned after being highly owned and then disappointing everyone. Adam Thielen, after his big game, he didn't make the list. So, and it's just a really surprising thing to hear all those people that I just mentioned not being on our list, on our consensus list this week. And I think that's pretty fair amount of receivers that we have on our list. But some other guys I think could go overlooked, will go overlooked. Marvin Jones killed the Packers last time, and they've just been getting destroyed by boundary receivers. So I like Marvin Jones a lot. I like Sammy Watkins some, but with EJ Manuel at quarterback, that's a tough one. That's pretty much it. Tight end, I don't think we missed anybody. There's not a lot of tight end options. I think Josh Perkins is an interesting tournament play against the Saints. He's the de facto tight end for the Falcons, 3 targets last week. I mean, it's just a punt and just hope for the best that he gets maybe some shares in the end zone. But, yeah, there's not really much to like at tight end. Greg Olsen may not play, so maybe his backup, Ed Dixon, is worth looking at. Fedorowicz maybe against Tennessee. Oh, Charles Clay is a thing, but I mean, you can play him if you want, your own discretion. Jared Cook is in a great spot, but it's Jared Cook. I mean, this is just, it's ugly at tight end outside of Kelsey and the ones on the consensus. So anyway, that's going to do it. This is the last time, like I mentioned, that we'll have the NFL Expert Industry Consensus Podcast. It's our last one. So happy New Year to everybody. Thank you for joining us this year, and good luck in the last week of the NFL regular season. We'll see you in the playoffs.